Okay, now that you've heard the word, let us hear the word of God. So our Old Testament lesson today comes from Amos. It's chapter 5, verses 6 through 15. You'll find it on page 649 in your pew Bibles and here. God says through the mouth of his prophet, "Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the tribes of Joseph like a fire. It will devour them, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. There are those who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. But he who made the Pleiades and Orion, who turns midnight into dawn and darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the earth, the Lord is his name. With a blinding flash, he destroys the stronghold and brings the fortified city to ruin. There are those who hate the one who upholds justice in court and detest the one who tells the truth. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good and not evil that you may live. Then the Lord Almighty will be with you just as you say he is. Hate evil and love good. Maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph." And here ends the lesson from the prophet. The lesson from the gospel continues our study of Mark chapter 10. We're in the 10th chapter of Mark this whole month. So today it's verses 17 through 31. Remember, Jesus has been on the Mountain of Transfiguration, and now he's on his way to Jerusalem, where you know he will face a triumphant entry, but then trial and death. So as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, and honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and just said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and he said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus said, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Here ends the lesson from the gospel. Finally, the lesson from the second half of the New Testament. This month, we're studying Hebrews. So today, it's just 4 verses from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Therefore, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive grace, receive mercy, and find grace to help us in our time of need." And here ends the lesson from Hebrews. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. So we're talking about faith at work. And all month, this month, we're using the 10th chapter of the book of Mark to talk about learning to live right side up in an upside down world. That really what Mark is calling us to do, what Jesus is calling disciples to do, is to learn to get our priorities according to the gospel. So to follow Jesus, according to Mark 10, is living a life that is contrary to the world's expectations and perspective. Last week, we talked about the kingdom of God being a place where the children are blessed. And we said that in God's eyes, all of us are vulnerable, and all of us are needy, and all of us are created to belong to each other and the world. And that's a very different message than what we hear out in the world. What we hear out there is, we're not to need anyone. We're to be strong and confident all the time. And we're not to depend on each other. But living right side up in an upside down world says no. God created us to need each other and belong to each other. And it's when we're most vulnerable and most needy that we're most present in the kingdom of God. So today, we continue and we talk about where the last are first. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's continuing down that road. And a man comes to him and falls on his knees before him. And that's a posture of a disciple. So already we learn that this man who comes to Jesus is not antagonistic, but really wanting to be a disciple. In Mark's gospel, he's just described as a man. Matthew and Luke tell this story, and Matthew calls him rich, and Luke calls him a ruler. A young ruler. So we know this as the story of the rich young ruler. But in Matthew's gospel, he's just a man. And he asks Jesus this great question. Like if anybody showed up in my office and said, Pastor, you know, Piper, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? I would just say, oh, wow, this is so cool. What a great question. And odds are I would say, well, have you been reading your Bible and you're doing all this great stuff for God and you're such an awesome person. And of course you're going to inherit eternal life. And so I'm waiting for Jesus to answer the question that way. But that is so not what Jesus does, right? Jesus says, you just called me good. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. So Jesus is, at that point, you know, he's on the way to the crucifixion. And so he's already equating himself with God. No one is good except God alone. And Jesus says, well, this is how you inherit eternal life. You keep the commandments. And so we know that the Ten Commandments are divided in half, right? The first four are how we relate to God, right? Keep the Sabbath, you know. The second six, the second half, are how we relate to each other. And Jesus basically lists those people-side commandments. And at that time, the rabbis taught that it was possible to keep those commandments perfectly. We would think, ah, no, we could never do that. But the rabbis taught that if you're following Scripture, you could keep those commandments perfectly. So the man says, Lord, Master, Teacher, I've kept those from my youth. And then Mark says this really significant thing. He says, Jesus looked at him, the man, and loved him. This is the only time in the Gospels that we see that a Gospel writer says Jesus loved somebody. And so in Greek, there's three words for love, right? So one is phileo, which is brotherly love, which is like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. One is the word where that's eros, the love between a man and a woman, right? Erotic love. And the other one is a word that really wasn't used much in Greek writing before the time of the Gospels, and that's the word agape. And so in Greek, in this text, it's agapesen, which is it's a completed action. Jesus looked at him, Mark says, and loved him with the love that God has for human beings. Okay, only time in the Gospels that we see this. And then he says, okay, you want to inherit eternal life, here's what you have to do. Go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And the man looks up and goes away sorrowing because the text says he has great wealth. And Jesus says, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. In the Gospels, Jesus talks about money second only to when he talks about the kingdom of God. So if we did a word study or a topical study, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God a lot, but the second topic is money. And Jesus says this parable, this metaphor that we have heard, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And there have been all kinds of scholarly interpretations about there was some gate called the camel gate. And, you know, but as I was reading and studying this week, I think that it's the camel is the largest animal they knew about, right? Now, there were elephants in the world at that time, but they didn't know them. And a needle, the eye of a needle, was the smallest aperture they knew. So Jesus is just drawing the biggest contrast he can. It's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Frederick Buechner, great Presbyterian pastor and writer, he says, it's like harder for Nelson Rockefeller to get through the night deposit slot of the First National City Bank. Okay? And so did any of you see that? There was a great video on Facebook this week of a huge bull moose walking down Northern Lights. Did anybody see it on Facebook? Okay, I did. And it was true, I think. And because not everything on Facebook, you know. And it was a huge bull moose, and he had this huge rack, and he was just kind of ambling down Northern Lights. And so I was thinking, so it's harder for a bull moose to get through a cat door, okay, that works, than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. So to live right side up in an upside down world, according to these verses from Matthew chapter 10, so that the first will be last in the last first, clearly has to do with our money. And so the question I have in my text is, how can we live then? And that's the disciples' question. What do we do? Right? Exactly the disciples' question. Did Jesus really mean it? So there's a hymn, and Henry Woodall, who preached to us on Friday night instead of Joseph Reed, reminded us of the words of the hymn. There's a verse in the hymn that goes, and I can't remember the name, I'm spacing it, but one of the lines says, words of challenge said with care. So I think that's what these words are for us. Did Jesus really mean it? Are we supposed to sell everything we have and give it to the poor? Are the last really going to be first, and the first last? Because God's word, the author of Hebrews reminds us, convicts us and holds us accountable for how to act and how to live and how to love God. And that's terrifying to me, because it impacts not just how I think, but how I actually live my life, how I spend my money. But God's word is also merciful and gracious. And we do have a high priest who calls us to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, where we will find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. At Presbytery, as Matthew said, we heard about so much that's wrong. Domestic violence is rampant in our state. We are the number one state in the nation for physical abuse of children. Because hurt people hurt people, and it's coming down from generations, and it's not just happening in the villages. Yet all things are possible with God, and through so many ministries, and so through so much faithfulness of so many people, things like 59 years later, then we had copies in the digital age of a recorded version of the New Testament in St. Lawrence Island, UPIC. We have now the Word of God in the language of the people. Many years ago, I was teaching on St. Lawrence. I was teaching Bible to Beulah Nopakahuk, the one who Matthew is talking about, the one who was one of the chief translators. And we were teaching Bible. I was with a good friend, David Dobler, and we were talking about justification. And the native culture is much different than ours. In our context, in a Bible class, I would be talking and people would ask questions and stuff. But on St. Lawrence Island, in Gambolin and Savunga, it's mostly the teachers talking and the people listening. And so finally, with somebody, Beulah puts up her hand and she says, "Piper, this morning we were translating in Galatians. And in Galatians, you know that there's five Greek words that all mean justification. I said, oh, you know, like, I guess I knew that, you know. And she said, and we're trying to figure out how to translate which one of them translates into eupik. So this is probably 12, 15 years ago. And Beulah is telling me that there's five Greek words that mean that all can mean justification. Okay, and so I studied Greek in seminary, but you know what? That was a really long time ago. I said, Beulah, could you tell us what those five Greek words were? Because I had no clue, literally, okay? But because of the work of people like Beulah, the New Testament is now in St. Lawrence Island, Yupik. In the village of Gamble, the church is almost done. God willing, next year we'll get to go as a presbytery and have a dedication ceremony, and the offering on Friday night went to help buy chairs for the village of Gamble. They're $100 a piece, and they need 150 of them. And lives are changed because of the word of God. There's a story about a Hasidic rabbi who he carried two slips of paper, one on each pocket, in each pocket. On one of the pieces of paper, he wrote these words, "For my sake, the world was created." On the other piece of paper, it said, "I am but dust and ashes." It's true. The God who made the Pleiades and Orion, who turns the midnight into dawn and day into night, says to us, "Seek the Lord and live." Brothers and sisters, all things are possible with God. Alleluia. Amen. Holy and almighty God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. We thank you for the knowledge that we are created to love and follow you. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.